Life's greatest pursuit is a commitment and determination to pursuing God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. God's plan for every individual Christian is that they should soar like eagles. But sadly, many Christians fail to soar because they fail to appreciate who they are in Christ Jesus. It could be that they are pursuing wrong goals, or possibly they have no goals at all. This evening, we will hear Pastor Brian Grant bring out of the life of Samson three things that must accompany the pursuit of God's plan for one's life. Listen now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Life's Greatest Pursuit, Part 2. Here is Pastor Grant.
A man was walking through the forest and came across an eagle's egg. And since Mama Eagle was nowhere in sight, he decided he would take the eagle's egg and he would put it in a turkey's nest, hoping to save the unborn eagle. It worked, and the egg hatched, and the little baby eagle became part of the turkey family. As he grew with the turkeys, he did exactly what turkeys do. You know, he ate turkey food. He scratched in the dirt like a turkey. He played turkey games and was earthbound like turkeys. Of course, he escaped the turkey at Thanksgiving. Or he didn't donate himself. But one day, you know, this turkey, this eagle who had grown up as a turkey, one day he saw two eagles soaring overhead. And he was so intrigued to watch them gliding 8,000 feet above the earth. He asked one of his turkey friends, he says, "How can eagles fly so high and we can barely get off the ground?" His turkey friend answered, he said, "It's because we are turkeys and they're eagles." And so although as an eagle he was born to soar, he remained earthbound because he didn't know who he really was. Now that is just an illustration. But sadly, although God's intention is that children of God should soar as eagles, many Christians aren't experiencing God's incredible plan for their lives. And so today, as we conclude this two-part message entitled Life's Greatest Pursuit, it's my prayer that God will challenge each of us afresh so we will fully embrace His plan for our lives and learn to soar as eagles. Amen? In part one of the message I shared last week, I stated, and you can, and we'll put this on the screen. I stated that life's greatest pursuit is to seek the kingdom of God above everything else and to live righteously. And I want to restate that another way today and say to you today that life's greatest pursuit is a commitment and determination to pursue God. Amen? Life's greatest pursuit is a commitment and determination to pursuing God. And so I want to add three additional components today to what we shared in part one of this message. Three important points if we're going to really soar the way God wants us to soar. Soar even in our homes. Put this down in your notes, please. Pursuing God must impact our home priorities. Pursuing God must impact our home priorities. I'm in the book of Joshua. Turn there with me, please. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. And I'm going to read, but of course, keep your fingers in the book of Judges. I'm right now in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 14. Joshua is coming to the end of his journey, and he writes to the children of Israel, and he says to them in verse 14, Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And he says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Make your mind up, young people, adults, make your mind up. If you are determined to serve the Lord, then serve the Lord with passion, amen. Serve the Lord with everything you've got. He says, serve the Lord, choose for yourself. Whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But here is what he concludes. He says, Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Pursuing God must impact our home priorities. You know, verse 15 is easy for me to remember, for there was a plaque at our home which shouted out loudly every time we walked downstairs. We saw a plaque at home that said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My parents were declaring clearly, and it was not just a verse on a plaque. My brothers and I can clearly say that it was evident from the way they lived that serving the Lord was priority to them. As far as they were concerned, they had dedicated their home to the Lord and they had decided to make God their priority. Hey, listen, when we pursue God, it must impact our home. But sadly, Samson's parents waffled. Sometimes we only blame Samson. But don't miss this. His parents waffled. Look at Judges chapter 14, verse 1. Judges chapter 14, verse number 1. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. His father and mother said to him, is there no other woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said to his father, get her for me. She pleases me well. Verse 5. So Samson went down to Timnah with who? His father and his mother, and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And verse 10 says to us, so his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave there a feast for young men used to do so. This was very sad. God, don't miss this. God had come down. There are few pre-incarnate appearances where God came down in physical form to men. Here in the book of Judges, that's exactly what happened. The Lord Jesus made a pre-incarnate appearance in physical form and appeared to Samson's dad and told him exactly what his plan and will was for Samson. But Samson's dad waffled. Is it waffled or waffled? Whatever the word is. You know what I'm talking about. Samson said, that's the baby I want. And so Samson's dad caved. Samson's dad caved. Parents, make sure that pursuing God is your priority at home. For listen, this I'm going to put on the screen. For Satan is determined to get our children to walk away from God. And he is succeeding in getting Christian parents to help. Do you hear what I'm saying? Christian parents are helping Satan. We are so anxious to please our children that we compromise God's word. But number one, listen, pursuing God must impact our home priorities. And parents, would to God today that there are some parents who would make a decision, oh God, help me, that I will walk with you in my home and set the right example for my children. You know, it was never easy being a Christian parent, but it's even harder today for Christian parents now face issues my generation never faced. And parents, don't worry, we are praying for you because we know it ain't easy to be a Christian parent today. It's going to call for a greater degree of commitment to God. Since the enemy knows that parents would like their children to pursue things that may help them academically and scholastically and help them to get scholarships, Sunday, I'm going there. Sunday is now one of the key days for sports. I wonder if you realize this is a plan of the enemy to steal your children. Or you say, well, I'm really helping them because if I don't let them leave church and go play, they won't get a scholarship. Says who? They intend to tell you this. We sometimes don't know the power of God. I remember when I graduated with my undergraduate degree, I was offered, the University of Western Ontario offered me a fellowship to come there. They were going to pay all my school fees. They were going to give me an apartment for free. They were going to give me monthly money to spend. They gave me everything there was. But it was just at the point where I was getting serious about the things of the Lord, and I realized this was not God's will. You see, too often we say the offer is too good to miss. I am here to tell you, parent and children, teenagers, there is no such thing as an offer that's too good to miss. If you're walking with Jesus, Jesus is not short on opportunities. We make it seem like if I miss this, I'm sunk. I don't think I'm quite sunk yet, amen. Because if we decide to follow Jesus, he has a plan B and a plan C. And I want to tell you, I'm so glad that I went on the plan that God was leading us rather than some other plan. Because I wouldn't be here today sharing this story with you. Thank God we have a God who's not short on options. Amen. Make sure that pursuing God is your priority. Amen. You know, it is very sad. In many Christian homes today, Sunday sports has now trumped church. And evening academic enrichment programs have trumped spiritual enrichment programs like teen ministry. Our kids don't have time to come to teen ministry. They don't have time for anything to do with the church because they're pursuing all of this success. Churches are already seeing the devastating consequences. For recent studies, both by the Barner Group and USA Today indicate, listen to this. I shared this before, but let me share it again. 75% of children raised in Christian homes. 75% of children raised in Christian homes are walking away from the faith. Did you hear what I'm telling you? 75% are walking away from the faith, and they're doing it with the help of their parents because their parents want to seize the opportunities. And these kids are planning to stop going to church once they graduate from high school. In his book, Who Switched the Price Tags, Tony Campolo wrote about pranksters who slipped into a department store at closing time and switched around the price tags. You can imagine how much that, how that was. You could get they switched the price for some envelopes with the TV. You can now get the TV for $5, you know. But on the other hand, you would have to pay $200 or $300 for the envelopes. You know what I'm saying? What a mess that was. The devil is trying to to mix up the price tags. Are you getting it? The devil is making us believe that pursuing worldly success is the most important thing in life. And sadly, many of us as Christian parents are falling into the trap. We are falling into the trap. But let me write this on the, put this on the screen for you. Listen, parents, get this. Every Christian parent has the responsibility to teach their children that pursuing God and His purpose is priority. Listen, parent, if I were to survey and interview children today, would they say to the leaders of this assembly that in our house it is very clear that number one priority is for us to pursue God? Nothing is as important as teaching and raising our children to pursue God. For even if they become billionaires, if they die without Christ, both you and them will be big losers. I don't want us to miss that. If your children die without Jesus, they will be big losers and you will be a loser, because they will be separated from you for all eternity and they will land in hell. Turn to Mark's gospel. Hold your finger in Judges, but go with me to Mark's gospel, chapter 8. Some of you may say, Pastor, why are you preaching so hard? I feel very passionate about this, because I see, sadly, there's a trend developing in Christian homes where the Word of God and the things of God are gradually being put on level 2. And if we only knew what God could do. You know, we preach about this God of miracles, but in our homes, we forget He really is a God of miracles. What miracle do you need God to do in your home? Will you keep praying on that? Will you keep trusting God to do it? We have a God who is a God of might and miracles. Let's make sure we lead our families His way. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, it says here, we sometimes like to use this only for the unsaved, but I want to make sure we Christians get it. It says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" May God help us, parents, guardians. Let's make sure that we raise our children realizing there is nothing worth giving up your soul. The relationship with Jesus is priority one. Second, put this in your notes. Pursuing God must not only impact our home priorities, but pursuing God must impact our priority on worship. I'm in Judges chapter 13, verse 16. And it says here, "And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die because we have seen God.'" In verse 18, the angel of the Lord said, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" And in case you missed it, this was another theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. As we've been saying in our series in the book of Judges, in the Old Testament, you would actually see that before Jesus was born in the manger in Bethlehem, he actually made some pre-incarnate appearances. Sometimes we don't hear that, but Jesus always was. Jesus did not begin as a baby in a manger. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Amen. And he actually appeared a few times in the Old Testament. And this is one of those pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. Manoah and his wife had just met the only person who is truly wonderful. You notice he says, why are you asking my name? Since it is wonderful. They had just met the only person who is truly wonderful. And although the Bible doesn't give us the details, it tells us that while they were looking on, the Lord did a wondrous thing. Did you see that little phrase? It's that the Lord did a wondrous thing. As the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, it was so awesome. Manoah fell with his wife on their faces in worship. I have no idea what that wondrous thing was. But I know that one day soon, God is going to do a wondrous thing before us. Amen? God is going to do a wondrous thing before us. For soon, come on now, and very soon, we're going home to see the King. I wonder if there's anybody else who's looking forward to that. Amen? And friends, when that happens, we're going to have the awesome experience of seeing our Savior face to face, and we won't have to ask him his name. Amen? Manoah had to ask, what's your name? We won't have to ask his name, for we'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Amen. We'll know that it's Emmanuel. We'll know that this is the one whose name is wonderful. And friends, unlike Manoah and his wife who just had a brief glimpse, when we see him, it won't be just for a brief glimpse. Amen. Because through the countless ages of eternity, we will be with our Savior. What an awesome hope we have in Jesus. Do you know him?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sin and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. And he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.